Good morning. I want to thank Pastor Dan for the opportunity of being here this past month. It has been a blessing for me. I know I've gotten to know a handful of you in the lobby after the service or before. It's just been a real privilege and a pleasure and a joy to be able to share God's word with you these past 4 weeks. If you have your Bibles with you, take a turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 23. We'll be wrapping up Psalms 23 today on the series that I've entitled Abundant Life. In your bulletin, there's an outline if you'd like to pull that out and follow along as we share God's word together this morning. Let's do a real quick recap, and then we'll jump into this morning's text, the last couple of verses of Psalms 23. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the most important thing in life is that you know God is your Lord and as your shepherd. And if you've got God today, then you've got everything that you need. You might not have as much as you think you need or as much as other people have, but if you've got God, you've got more than enough. We need to get that down into our hearts and learn to live there each and every day. If you've got God, you've got more than enough. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about life can get hectic at times. We can get real busy. We can get real stressed out. And we don't take time for our souls to be restored. And we talked about soul restoration and how important that is. Because one day when we draw our last breath, our soul is going to live on forever and ever. And so we need to take care of our soul. We need to make sure we're spending the time we need to in spiritual disciplines to build up our faith and to grow in our relationship with the Lord and making sure we're spending quality time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word and with other believers and all those things that are so important to nourish and help us and strengthen our souls. And then last week we talked about sometimes life is hard. Sometimes God will take us to the valley of the shadow of death, and when He takes us through those kinds of difficult places in life, we need to know that God is our shepherd, and He's leading and guiding us every step of the way. He leads us into green pastures, and He leads us through the valleys in life, and He's in control, and we can trust Him with our lives. We don't have to fear anything that we're facing, knowing that because He is our shepherd, we can trust His goodness to us and our relationship to Him. And today I want to talk to you about God's desire to bless your life and how He pursues you with His abundant blessings. And I believe that God wants to bless you abundantly. I'm going to talk more about that this morning. Think about a time in your own life when God just like really poured on the spigot and just really blessed your life. It was one of those times for me when I decided to go to seminary. I was living in Michigan at the time. God made it real clear that I was going to go to Talbot Seminary down in Southern California. Quite a move for a Michigan boy. And I remember God laying on my heart that I wanted to get out of seminary and be debt free. I didn't want to be in debt with school and school bills and all that kind of thing. So I sold everything that I had. I had a nice car. I sold that, sold everything, and I moved to Southern California, the La Mirada area. They're near just a couple blocks from Biola University, Talbot Seminary. And God allowed me to stay with this guy by the name of Don. I knew him from a number of years earlier. He was looking for a roommate. He had a two-bedroom apartment close to the campus there. And his parents, I want to say, were loaded, all right? They had lots of money. They blessed me. They said, hey, if you will, you know, keep the place clean, you know, cook some meals, do some laundry, we'll bring down the rent to an amount that you really can afford. And so I was in agreement with that. That was a great thing. And I didn't have any car at the time, and I was able to walk back and forth to school because we were so close. But my friend Don, his parents had bought him a new Camaro Z28 just 3 years earlier when he graduated from Biola University. And so we were able to drive around in this cool Camaro and everything. And I thought, how cool is that? You know, in Southern California with the T-tops off and we're cruising the streets, you know, and Hollywood and all that. It was a great place. You know, we enjoyed ourselves and riding around in that car. And Don was going to graduate a year before me. And his parents had told him already, we're going to buy you a new car when you graduate from seminary. And so he had this Z28. He didn't want to have to move back to Michigan with it. And so his parents said, hey, ask Brian if he'll buy the Camaro from you. And I went ahead and looked at the blue book value of this car at the time. It was going between $10,000 and $13,000, okay? Not something a poor seminary student could afford. And so his parents said, well, how much can you afford? And I came back with an answer that was way lower than anything they could even consider. And I said, I can give you $1,000 for that car. They sold me that Z28 for $1,000. I drove it for the rest of my schooling there and drove it for another 4 or 5 years. And I come to tell you this morning, I actually sold that car for about $4,500 about 5 years later. An amazing thing, a guy just blessing me. And I walked across that stage and I got my diploma and I was debt free. And I had a nice Camaro that God had blessed me with. And he just really blessed me when I was in seminary. Throughout scripture, we see example after example of God abundantly blessing his children and giving them far more than they need or even deserve. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, and the Lord passed before him, Moses, proclaiming, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God is abundant in his goodness towards us. God gives us far more than any of us deserve. Let's take a little exercise this morning. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Go ahead and exhale. God gave you more than you deserve just then in that breath. He gave you more than you deserve. He gave me more than I deserved in that breath. Now think about the Garden of Eden for just a moment, okay? God created everything in that garden for Adam and Eve and for his pleasure, of course. Actually, Eden means pleasure, luxury, or delight. And the Garden of Eden was a perfect place without sin. And God created everything just right to bless Adam and Eve with good things to enjoy. I mean, this was a place of God's blessing. This was a place of abundance. This was a place of prosperity. And he wanted to just pour out his blessings upon them with good things to enjoy. Now, let's think about the Israelites for a moment, God's chosen people. And so God chose the Israelites to be people of his own choosing. And the scripture says that he wanted to bless them abundantly as his children. He even prepared a place of blessing for them to settle down and to prosper called the Promised Land, a place of abundance. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7 to 10 kind of defines that, talks about that. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full. This was a place of abundance. I mean, this was a place that flowed with milk and honey and wine and olive oil and fruit and vegetables and bread and gold. And we know the story of Moses sending in 12 spies to spy out the land and to bring a report back to the people. And when the spies come back, two of the spies were carrying one cluster of grapes. And I don't know if any of you have seen a cluster so big of grapes that it took two men on a pole to carry it. But this was a huge cluster of grapes to show the abundance of the land of blessing, the promised land that God was giving to the Israelites and he was bringing them into. And so God wanted to richly bless his people. And so we see this pattern throughout scripture where God wants to bless his children abundantly. Jesus even talked about that in John 10 and verse 10 where he says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, Satan, the thief, God calls him, comes to steal things from you, to take things from you. He comes to destroy people's lives. He comes to kill people, but not Jesus. He came to this earth to bless people and to give them real life, eternal life, a life of blessing. I like how the New Living Translation states John 10:10, it says this, Jesus came to give us a rich and satisfying life. I like that. And so the starting point to experience a life of abundance is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have a relationship with God through faith in Christ. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and to have life more abundantly than you do now. A blessed life here and now because you know him personally, and a blessed life in heaven forever and ever. There's a credit card company, Discover Card, that says, it pays to discover. You know, it pays to know God as your Lord and Savior. It not only pays now in this life, but it pays for all eternity as well. Now let's look at the text this morning, if you would, Psalms 23, verse 5 and 6. David writes these words, "You prepare a table, God, before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This morning, if you're taking notes, I want to share with you three abundant blessings that God gives to us. Here's the first one, if you're taking notes this morning. Blessing number one, the provision of God, that God always provides for us. He always provides for his children. Now, I think it's interesting to note the name used for Lord in the psalm is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. You don't have to worry or fret or be fearful that your needs are going to be taken care of by the shepherd. You can absolutely, positively, without question, know that God promises to take care of you and all of your needs. He's the shepherd. You're a sheep. He will take care of you. He's the shepherd. So trust him and his provision for your life. Now look at how David talks about how the Lord, the shepherd, takes care of him and blesses him with good things to enjoy. And this is kind of my paraphrase. David says, "You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You bless me with goodness. You bless me with mercy. And someday you'll bless me with life everlasting in your presence." Now, this statement of preparing a table implies God preparing a feast for us to sit down and enjoy. How many of you enjoy a feast? You like good feast? Okay. Now, Southern Baptists know how to feast at potlucks, don't we? I mean, we got it down. There hasn't been a Southern Baptist potluck that I've been to that I don't like, and I have an abundance of food when I go to one of those, right? I mean, they know how to lay it out. The ladies know how to cook. And then buffets. I like a good buffet, you know. Love going to Sizzler down the street here, you know, and all-you-can-eat buffets. They're kind of making a comeback after COVID. That's a good thing, and I'm enjoying that. And Michelle and I love to go on cruises because it's as much food as you could want 24/7. Cruising is feasting on food while others wait on you. It's paradise on water, I tell you. If you've ever gone on one, you need to go on one. And this Friday, actually, we're traveling to New Orleans, 2 days in New Orleans. Hopefully, it's not snowing anymore there. And we're going to get on a ship and head out into the Caribbean for a week to celebrate our 30 years of marriage. And thankful to the Lord for that. But the cruising, the best meal of the week is the captain's dinner. And people dress up, and you get pictures with the captain, and nice decorated room and table. A waiter with a French accent comes over and waits on you. You sit down, takes a napkin, he puts it across your lap. He fills your water glass till it's overflowing. And he doesn't bring out just one plate of food. He brings out two and three and four and five and six, however many you want. And if there's something you don't like, he'll take it back and he'll bring you out another plate. And his desire is to do one that to please you. And when I hear of these words of David, it paints that kind of picture in my mind. God prepares the room. And with all the beautiful decoration, and he sets the table with the finest china and the nicest glasses and the best napkins, and he pulls out a chair just for us. And he lays a golden napkin across our lap. And he fills our glass till it just like overflows. And he delivers the best food to us that we've ever eaten in our lives. And he keeps giving us more and more and more and more, more than enough. He keeps laying it on. He gives us an abundance until we are full and we are satisfied. And he prepares it all just for you because he loves you. He asks just one thing. Sit back and relax because he wants to serve you. Now, there's something in me that cries out, this isn't right. This isn't how it should be. This isn't the picture that I painted in my mind of how God works in my life. This is wrong. Last time I checked, I was not deserving of God's grace and mercy. I think of the story in the upper room that night when Jesus took the form of a servant, and he goes around and he's washing the dirty, stinky feet of the disciples. And when he gets to Peter, what does Peter say? No, Lord. No way, Lord, this is below you, Lord. You shouldn't do this to me. And what did God tell him? What did Jesus tell him? He says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And what did he say? then wash my feet and my whole body, Lord, because you know what? I want all of you. I want to get as much of you as I can get, Lord. It reminds me of another illustration. One time I was at a church, and we were receiving communion actually at the front of the sanctuary that morning. And he got in an aisle, and he went to the front, and he took the juice. And then there was a loaf of bread, and you would break off a piece of the bread representing the body of Christ. When I went to back to take my steed, I noticed a 7-year-old boy that came to the altar. And when he got to that loaf of bread, he had this big grin on his face, and he took his hand, and he took a whole handful of bread. Now, I reflected back upon that for a moment. In that 7-year-old boy, I didn't tell you, he's about seven, eight years old. In that young boy's mind, he knew that that bread represented the body of Christ. And he wanted to get as much of Jesus that he could. How much of Jesus do you want this morning? How much do you desire of God? And David writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What? I don't want to feast with my enemies. Right? Last time I checked, I feast with friends and family. David writes here, he says here, my enemies. Why is that? Because David had actually a lot of enemies. A lot of people out trying to kill him. Saul, his own son Absalom. There was many others throughout his life. And David was referring here that God is the one who will protect him from his enemies. And God protects us from our enemies. Matter of fact, not only was God going to protect him from his enemies, but God was going to take it a step further and actually prepare a feast where David was able to sit in front of his enemies while they watched God pour the blessings on David's life. And God was going to protect David from his enemies, and God was going to vindicate him before his enemies. No sweeter vindication than God preparing a feast of blessings for you while your enemies watch. Do you have enemies in your life? Do you have others who are out maybe to destroy you or take away the blessings that God wants for your life? Well, God's word is clear that we're not to take the situation into our own hands and react in anger or to hurt them or lash out them in some way because they've done something wrong to us. God says, let him repay evil for evil, not you, okay? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Let God take care of it in his way and his timing. And so don't repay evil with evil. Jesus actually takes it a step further, and he says that we're not supposed to take it into our own hands, but we're supposed to pray for enemies. Are you reacting like your enemies are reacting towards you? Are you turning evil with evil, or are you letting God handle it? Are you forgiving others who have hurt you and praying for those who are your enemies? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, if you're not forgiving others and you're holding on to anger, Jesus says, then you're no different than a person that's far from Christ that doesn't know him. Now, David could take great comfort in the fact that God was Lord over all and God was going to abundantly provide for him even in the face of impending danger from his enemies. And God will lovingly and very kindly protect you as a shepherd protects the sheep. And so trust in him. With whatever you're going through right now, trust in him. And do the right thing that God wants you to do. Do the righteous thing. And your responsibility is to love others in Christ's name and do what you can to honor and glorify God in your unique situation and whatever you're going through. That's what God calls you to. David goes on and he says this. I like this statement. He says, you anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. At the end of a long day on the trail, the shepherd would take out olive oil and pour it over the head of the sheep. And the sheep, this was just a wonderful blessing from the shepherd. And the oil felt so good as it soaked down in their thick coat and it killed bugs that were in their coats and it would soothe them and bring healing to their coat. Now, sheep are not like dogs, all right? I've got a dog. As soon as I turn on the bath water and get the dog shampoo, man, he's heading as far away from me as he can, right? Man, as soon as he sees that happening or hears that, man, he is running in the opposite direction. Most dogs hate baths, but not sheep. But sheep are not like dogs, right? You don't bathe them, but the shepherd would pours oil over their coat to refresh them and bring healing to their bodies. Now, to anoint a head with oil throughout Scripture meant to make one fat or to make one prosperous. And an anointing throughout Scripture actually represented a special blessing upon a person. And when a person had been on a long journey, they couldn't just go inside of a person's house and shower up, right? They didn't have showers. But oil was used for people to put it on their skin to clean it and refresh it and bring healing to it. And sometimes the olive oil, they would take it and they would mix it with fragrant spices. And when you were a guest in another person's home, the host would offer to anoint your head with oil. And we see the prostitute doing that for Jesus, to anoint him before his burial. And so David paints this beautiful picture here of God serving him and taking oil and pouring it over his head. As David reflects over his life and he remembers time and time again when God would abundantly serve him and protect him and provide for him. And then notice this next phrase that David uses, "My cup overflows." Now David used this next phrase to express the blessings of God upon his life. That God just like pours out the blessings on my life. And he has throughout my whole life. Now it's one thing for a cup, to be full, but it's another thing for it to be overflowing, right? Now, when I really like a drink, like if I go to a restaurant, water, tea, having a soda, whatever, it's like, hey, man, keep filling it up, right? I go to Starbucks, I buy a $4 coffee, and they said, would you like me to leave room for cream? I go, no, I want cream, but man, fill that baby to the rim. I want my $4 worth, right? I mean, come on. So fill it to the rim, man. Fill it till it's overflowing. I'm paying $4. Now, we visit other people's homes, right? Have you ever wondered when you visit someone's house how long you should stay and when you should leave? Well, there was a custom, actually, in ancient Middle East when someone would come to your house for a visit as a guest. If someone came to your house, even if it was a stranger that you didn't know, the first thing that you would do is you would offer them a cup of water or a cup of wine. And they would drink it, and then you would offer to refill it for them. And they drink it, and you would offer to refill it. And as long as the cup was being refilled, you were welcome to stay as long as you wanted and not leave. And if someone came to your house, and after a couple of refills, the cup was left empty, it was time to get up and leave. They didn't want you to stay any longer. And if the host decided he really liked you and really wanted you to stay longer, he would continue to fill your cup and continue to fill your cup until it's implied here that it was overflowing. And so when an overflowed cup, it was shown as a symbol that you can stay as long as you want to stay. And that's the picture that David is describing here, that the Lord who loves you so much, he wants to bless your life with good things to enjoy, and he just lays it on. He fills your cup, and he fills your cup, and he fills your cup until the blessings are just overflowing. He blesses us and blesses us and blesses us, and he gives us an abundance. He gives us more than we deserve. He gives us more than enough. We are sinners, aren't we? We're poor beggars, and we don't deserve a place in heaven with God, much less a place to honor the Lord where he serves and waits on us. But that's God's grace and mercy towards us. We don't deserve forgiveness and eternal life, yet God freely gives it to us. He blesses us with forgiveness, sins if we'll ask him, and he'll give us the gift of eternal life. So the first blessing that God gives us in abundance is he abundantly provides for us. Here's the second blessing. The pursuit of God, the pursuit of God. Verse 6, David writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, God loves you and he pursues you. And I want you to know he never lets go of you no matter what. Now notice it's the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord here that David writes. His goodness and loving kindness follow you all the days of your life. Isn't God good? And he is so good. Isn't God great? Isn't God loving? Isn't God kind towards us? The word love here is hesed. It means a good, loyal love that never ends. It never runs out. And David is saying here, God will be faithful and loyal to me no matter what, all the days of my life. And my salvation is not dependent on me and my good works or even me maintaining my salvation. My salvation is based on the fact of what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. He died for me and he pours out his grace and his mercy upon me and upon my sins. I am forever forgiven. There's not anything I can do to earn salvation, not anything I can do to lose my salvation from beginning and end. It all depends on God and what he's done for us. God is so faithful, so faithful. Paul tells his brother Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny his own self. The Bible is in fact saying when we are lacking faith or we have no faith or when we willingly and knowingly turn away in sin, God can't do that. God has to remain faithful to us even when we are not. It's not within the nature of God for him to be unfaithful to us. We're unfaithful so often, maybe daily, but he isn't. And I love this about God. He never gives up on us. Never gives up on us. No matter how many times we blow it, God says, I will follow you with my love all the days of your life. Now, this word follow means to chase after. It's a picture of God pursuing us. A picture of God chasing after us. Now, picture that in your mind for a moment. God is chasing after you with his love. God is running you down. God loves you so much, he will never turn away. He'll never stop chasing after you with his love and his goodness. I love that. There was a message from one of the great saints many years ago entitled The Hounds of Heaven, referring to this part in Psalms 23. And the message is this, this picture of hounds panting and chasing after you. And no matter where you are or what you've done, they are chasing after you. They're hunting you down. They're after you. And God loves you so much, he's hunting you down. He's chasing after you. A beautiful picture of the abundance of God and his blessings that he just pours out to us. Did you hear that? Bow wow, bow wow. Did you listen to that? Bow wow, bow wow. He's chasing after you. He's pursuing you. He will never stop chasing you with his love and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness. Maybe you're here today and you're not hearing his voice. Maybe you don't know Christ today. Maybe you don't know the Lord today. You should hear the voice of the Lord through scripture and other means. And God wants to speak to your heart. Maybe this, for you, you're a believer, but you've turned away. You've wandered away from the faith. It's time to come home. It's time to come back to the Lord if you're in that situation today. Jesus describes it this way in his love for us and his willingness to always forgive us and bring us back into a relationship with himself. Luke chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, puts it around his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. And this is a picture of a father running to find and embrace his son who's wandering off in the wrong direction. And God loves you so much, he never lets you go. He's pursuing you with his love. And so the blessing of God is the provision of God, the pursuit of God. And finally this morning, blessing number three is the future with God. The future with God. I want you to know if you're a follower of Christ today, then your best days are ahead of you. Your future is brighter than ever because you know the Lord today. Maybe you're midlife, maybe you're a senior, and this world would say, your best life is behind you. But not for those who are in Christ. Not for those who are God's children. If you are God's child today, I want you to know your best days are ahead. Your greatest days have yet to be written. And Satan doesn't want you to embrace that. He doesn't want you to believe that. Let's take a little survey. Name a lie Satan uses to dispel you of hopes and dreams about your future. How about this? Too many past sins. You keep committing that same sin over and over and over again. Too many past sins. How about this? Too many years have passed. You're too late to the party. You're too old. Too many obstacles in life. You're not going to be able to reach those goals, those dreams that God has given you. And we can go on. Too many others. So many things. But look at verse 6. David writes, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long? How long? Amen. You know, God created heaven, and he told his disciples he was going away to heaven, and he was going to prepare a place for them, and he would return one day. That they would be with him. They would live with him. In John chapter 14, verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. for us that know Christ today. And now, what do you picture in your mind when you think about a mansion? What do you picture? What comes to your mind as you're just thinking about that word mansion? Okay. When I picture a mansion, I picture a beautiful place full of the rich blessings of God. I think about a large place with more than enough room, more than I need. I think about a huge dining room and a huge banquet table. I think about a big place, a place of abundance. Remember years ago the song, Big, Big House? Remember we used to sing that? A big house. And the Bible gives us some small glimpses of heaven, but you know what? Not too much. And I think it's because we'd have a hard time straining it through our human brains if God gave us too much of the picture of what heaven's like. And I think he's given us some hints when we think about the Garden of Eden that we talked about or the promised land the Israelites were in, but it will truly be a place far greater, far more beautiful, far more expansive beyond anything we could ever imagine. It will be a place full of abundant blessing of God towards those of us who believe. I love this verse from Paul, writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We have never seen what heaven will look like. Never seen a picture of it. We have never heard what it will be like. Our minds, our human minds, Jesus says, can't even conceive how awesome it will be. But it will be a place of blessing without sin, without death, without pain, without suffering, a place of abundance of God just pouring on his goodness and his grace and his mercy forever and ever and ever. Now, maybe you're in a bad place today, this morning. Maybe you want some good things to happen in your life. I want you to know it's coming. Heaven is coming. Heaven is guaranteed. How long will it last? Forever. And so don't get so focused on this life that you forget about heaven and eternity and how wonderful it's going to be. Keep looking ahead. Keep looking forward to your reward. Keep living for God and what will matter long after you have left this earth. Don't look back. Look forward to the abundant blessings that are coming your way in eternity. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first my kingdom and my righteousness." And so keep seeking the Lord. Keep living for him. Keep living for eternal things, things that will matter forever. I love the song, "When We've Been There 10,000 Years, Bright Shining as the Sun." We have no less days than to sing God's praise than when we first believed. The abundant blessings of God. God's provision, God's pursuit of us, and our eternity, our eternal future with him. Abundant life is found only in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Abundant life is found when God, as the shepherd, restores our soul. When we take the kind of time we need in the word and prayer and other spiritual disciplines. Abundant life is found in holding on to the promises of God no matter how bad things get in life, no matter how difficult, no matter how deep the valley. And abundant life is found in the blessings that God pours on us. And he turns on the spigot and never goes out, never runs dry. That's God's abundant blessing to us. Let's thank the Lord for that this morning as we close our message together. Father, we thank you for these past 4 weeks, Lord. We thank you for teaching about us about this well-known psalm from King David. And Lord, I want to thank you specifically for today's message, Lord, and the things that you've talked to us about, your love for us and how it never runs out, how you chase after us, Lord, with your goodness and your love and your mercy and your kindness. And we give you thanks for that today. And throughout our lives, we can look back, those that have had a relationship with you for maybe a long period of time, Lord, they could see over the course of their life the abundant blessings that you have poured out upon them and so many answered prayers, so many things that you have done to take care of them and provide for them and see them through difficult times, Lord. I just praise you for your goodness to all your children here this morning. Thank you that you care for us and continue to do that, and you continue to love us in spite of sometimes when we fall away from you, Lord. And I pray if there's a son or daughter who's gone wayward today, they're not living for you, Lord, I pray they would come back to their faith in Christ today and walk with him once again. I pray if there's a person here that maybe has never come to faith in Christ and they would like to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that this day they would repent of their sins and trust Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior, to receive him today. God, I thank you for your kindness and your love and your goodness to us. Thank you for your abundant, bountiful blessings to each one of us. We love you so, so much, Lord. We're eternally grateful for you and all you've done for us. God, go with us now and help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to do all that you call us to do, that we might live for those things that will matter long after we leave this earth. I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.